This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. As always, I'm just so happy to be here in Hawaii, and especially on the island of Oahu. It has the beautiful sights and make you feel good. If you're feeling down and in the dumps, just look up to the mountains and think where you are, and I bet you'll feel good, or you should anyway. I have some guests this morning. Richard Bronskill, and he's with the Nubian Hawaii News. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Carol. How are you?
I'm fine. And I also have Mr. Calvin Griffin.
And aloha. Good morning
to you. The Hawaii Bulletin Board.
Yeah,
I'm glad you guys could get up, and I didn't mean to roust you up so early, but I just wanted to ask you guys to come in and talk about a current issue here, and I think that we share some of the same concerns and have experienced some of the same impacts of this similar actions. And as we go on, we'll talk, and that's specifically about the HTA, the Hawaii Tourism Authority, Rex Johnson, and his actions. And basically, what I want to do is, I'll start off by prefacing saying that there's no one individual wrong. Rex Johnson was absolutely wrong, without a doubt. There's absolutely, whatever he did, and there's some are saying it's politically correct, that we all want to be politically correct, and I'll accept their participation in the conversation too. Mm-hmm. They can call 524-1080, but this isn't about political correctness. This is about being fair and respecting the people. Sure. And I just one other point. Now, this gets its original problem starts with the state auditor, Marion Higa, who, conducting an audit of the HTA, discovers emails. Now, the key is here, we don't know what other violations or improprieties that exist and that were documented during this audit. See, that's the sad part about this, because that has not been publicized, if there are any. The bigger problem is that she discovers it, hands it off to Calvin Say and Hanabusa, State Senator Colleen Hanabusa, and the governor gets a copy of the letter as well, the June 25th, 2008 letter. Now, June 25th, the governor is now saying, here recently, in the last week or so, he should resign, unseated. Well, here's the problem. I suspect that the governor should have known or knew, and that if she didn't know, and now that she do know, she should be screaming at her attorney general, Mark Bennett, because it is Mark Bennett who screened the emails, or one of his staff members, because each agency has an attorney general that represents the agency, right, as advice. And I receive copies of the emails from the HTA. The problem is, A lot of the emails were redacted and reviewed by the Attorney General.
Mm.
So the Attorney General had to see.
Right.
So as a result of this, I'm thinking that we need an independent investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't rely on the Attorney General. Because the Attorney General, if Marin Higa soft-sells it,
mm-hmm.
and hands it off and sits back and have them representing that it's just sex mm-hmm. content, don't speak of the race, don't speak of the bigotry mm-hmm. and the mm-hmm. hatred that is in there, and she sits back and allows them to soft-sell it, and then the governor chimes in months later, does nothing. Yet, while her Attorney General or his staff mm-hmm. reviews these emails on conditions that they are reviewed so that any sensitive information, whatever that is redacted or removed. And they, in fact, did that.
Yeah.
So who's to blame here? So what do you think? And I'd like, as a member of the community here, mm-hmm. what do you guys think?
Just one question I have. The audit, how is this something that's done annually, or was there something that caused them to go ahead and do this audit of the agency? Or?
Well, I don't know.
Mike's gone.
I don't know.
Slight technical problem.
A little technical problem.
Here. I don't know who it was,
mm-hmm.
How often the audit.
Mm-hmm.
But this was an official audit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, I don't know if they're routine, if they're mm-hmm. annual or quarterly. I have absolutely no idea. Mm-hmm. But thank God they did have one. Apparently,
mm-hmm.
he's been at it for a while, right? So, good thing.
Well, as you mentioned, you gave me a privilege to take a look at the emails, and like I say, there's no question about it that this gentleman does not belong in this position, because if this is... You know how it goes. Sometimes, if this is what they're showing us, the question is, what aren't they showing us? And it's not only about like a racial issue, but this is concerns all of us here. Because if you got somebody in a position that of a responsibility that's representing the state and in some capacity representing our country overseas, then they're. The weight of what their office carries a lot more in their words. There's a lot in the words that definitely have an impact on other people. And when you have people that, if it's condoned, at a higher level, then people farther down the food chain gives them, I guess they feel vindicated, or they feel like they can, it's all right, to act that way.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter who does it, whatever racial persuasion or sex it is, it shouldn't be done. And, everyone should be outraged about this particular, this incident.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that cannot be stand for in our society.
And, it really started out kind of passé. It became a little issue in the news, and then it was on the front page, and then it kind of fizzled, and then it boiled back up. But the bottom line is that the guy and the people around him have decided that it's okay for him to be this kind of racist.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they want his job, but what has been the impact over all the time that this guy has been in this position? How many people has he screwed out of, possibly being a part of the Hawaii tourism, So it just kind of feeds on itself.
I see. Well, there's greater implications here, and a number of people say, well, it's not about race. Well, then we don't have a conversation, because if it's not about race, that was the content of the emails, and then so if it's not about race, then I guess we subscribe to exactly what Governor Linda Lingle, Marion Higa, Colleen Hanabusa, Calvin Say provides us. It is about race, and I make no apologies for people that walk and wallow in the stenches and the bowels of the belly of a racist. I'm sorry. It's absolutely, in this day and age, and unless we people call them on it, then I'm not going to make any excuses for them. When you have, for example, an email that say Obama, and I want to apologize to the public out there. I generally don't go and talk like this, and I'm not going to be vulgar, but just to quote this email, Obama, half honky and then half donkey. Well, I'm sorry, and when you look at the line of emails, they're all about black people, or in some descending or condescending or disparate remarks about them. I'm sorry, but that to go and then view and see that it's only sex, that I'm sorry, who placed the value? Did he go look at it and say, well, we can't offend women, but we'll ignore the issues about blacks? And so it's just a conversation, but how does this translate when you, in talking to you earlier, you mentioned Richard, that you had approached Rex for advertisement on your show, which airs on Channel 11 on Wednesday nights, right? And what was your experience?
It was really funny because I saw him at a meeting that I was videotaping, so I go over to him and I said, hey, I'd like to speak to you about da-da-da-da-da, you know, about advertising on my show. Hawaii Tourism, because I've seen that they sponsor other programs. So I'm thinking, African-American show, we're dealing with issues in Hawaii, which brings up another whole thing about the whole cable system and what shows are seen where to the tourist. So he told me, well, we don't target African-Americans. And I said, okay. I said, but, no. But, you basically he said there's no money available for African-Americans, all right, which I just thought was kind of strange. I said, but the show that I saw this on that Hawaii Tourism Authority was a part of, you know, it was just a kind of a regular local show. So my question now has become, are they not willing to advertise on an African-American show because it's African-American? But that poses the question now.
Okay. And he don't target African-Americans to come here for what? I don't understand.
Yeah, he said we target North America. He said we don't target any one group specifically. All right? So that was the excuse. He said, but, you know, there is money available for other, there's other money available, but you would have to compete for that. So I'm, like, standing there, and my reaction is, give me the info. If that's all it takes is for me to compete, I have no problem with that.
But they do advertise in Japan. They target Japanese market.
Yeah.
They target Chinese market.
Yeah,
but they don't target African-American market.
No.
So, you know,
that was their claim.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the claim is, but I'm hoping to only repeat what he said. I have a need to try and interpret anything. I can just speak the facts on this,
and
they will speak for themselves.
It has become obvious.
Yeah. So what I'm seeing in these emails, for example, there's one in there that talks about Herman Frazier. Now, Rex Johnson is in Costa Rica, and he writes to Murphy's Bar and Grill, and he talks to Murph about Herman, and I'm just going to read this. Now, some may argue that this is a stretch, but I let them hear this. It's just one email, not about sex or anything, but hola. Greetings from Costa Rica. Great time, great weather, better margaritas. Hope all's going well. Get home Monday, although I'd like to stay one more week. Sounds as though Mr. Donovan has his hands full. Wonder how many just blame Herman T-shirts we could sell.
Mm-hmm.
See you next week, Murph. This thing with June is going to be very interesting. He is not going to budge. Can't wait to hear Herman's response. Now, I don't know if this is, you know, stretching it or what, but when I see letters about a person that grew up here with the school here and now is running for president, and all that this man can find in his belly is to spew these vile and racist remarks or cartoons together. Now, some say, well, he didn't write them. He just forwarded them.
Yeah, see, that's something that gets to me. Because you see who the list of people that's being carbon copy and CC'd on this, and you know, whether it's being sent to or from or whatever. Excuse me. It's that web out there, you know, where if he's into it, and if you look at some of the names, like so on the on the emails, who we forward this stuff to, these are influential people in our community, you know. And so, you know, we talk about, there's one thing, you know, to talk about race nowadays. You know, a lot of non-blacks or would probably say, well, why don't you people get over it? Let's move on. I mean, all these things you got people got in place. What's going on? Over here, my experience is that when you're dealing on a grassroots level, everything, you know, most people get along fine. It's the systemic thing that goes on. Things are in place that have a major impact on, you know, on your livelihood. You can be, you know, really do a great job, but if you don't have access to the money or the people
exactly.
out there, you're frozen out, you
yeah.
know? So that doesn't, you know, it still has to be addressed. We still got some major problems, you know, and it's not just, you know, it's about all of us, you know,
yeah.
but it is definitely a racial thing, but again, people just don't want to talk about it sometimes.
It's basically systemic racism. I know that if I don't like a particular group, and my homeboy over there somewhere in a higher position doesn't like him, and as long as we keep that between ourselves and we block people out, then yeah, they maintain a level of control. And you are always on the outside trying to get in, you know, and your livelihood is impacted by it. But that's how it works. The problem is that people try to be slick. So they start passing these little emails around, you know, so they can get their little chuckle on.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is that when it comes time for them to make decisions, they make decisions based on that so-called hidden racial agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how it works.
We got a call here from Bob. Bob, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with the last speaker anymore, because the race, people don't realize it. Hey, I'm a white guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was born and raised around black people, right? So I'll give you a little of my background. So what this guy, Rex Johnson, said, being a white man, is saying that he's a racist. You know what I mean? It's just, you can't get around it. You know what I mean? You know, talking about, you know, maybe our future president like that, it just brings out his true colors. And, you know, I've had a couple of personal dealings with Mr. Johnson. And if you want me to relate that to you, I will. But he is above the law. I guarantee you that, just by the way you can hear his demeanor and his talk. And this attorney general that we have now should prosecute it immediately. If not, he should be prosecuted. They're not prosecuting.
Yeah. Well, you're right.
You agree, gentlemen?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Uh-huh. It's something that needs to be addressed at a more serious level.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bob.
Well, I just sort of, you know, to get across to the people out there listening, they may think this is just going to pass and go by. But it's on the table and has to be resolved one way or the other. And like I said, the Attorney General, Mr. Bennett,
right.
Needs to get to doing his homework and get this thing cleared up, okay?
All right.
Please speak on, gentlemen.
Hey, thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Hi.
Yeah. The number is 524-1080 if you have any comments, and we're not speaking science here. We have a bit of emotion and also a bit of history. I'm 55 years old, and I've walked many a miles in these moccasins, and as I said earlier, when someone say, and it's some interesting things occurring today,
mm-hmm.
that creates a problem. When we talk about racial terms, we now say, it's the N-word,
yeah.
right? And we've sanitized it. So you and I now have a burden as people to stay away from that. And then, everyone has to be politically correct. And so when we are challenged by situations like this, we are so sanitized and restricted and that we now can't come out and speak the truth about anything. And then our attorney generals and our governor and our state senators and our representative won't speak. That's the making of injustice.
Hmm.
Well, the thing is, you know, everything is so politically correct nowadays, where, you know, you look at a person the wrong way and they feel offended, you know, or they feel like they've been slighted in some way. You know, life is not always fair. You have certain things you do have to deal with, you know, but when, you know, I would rather, and I feel really asinine when I, you know, of course, we say the N-word. Hey, to me, I'm not going to say it on your show because it's your show, okay? But we know what the word is. But I refuse to go ahead and around say the N-word. I'll just come out and say it, you know.
Uh-huh.
If I have individuals out there that, you know, we've been over here, like, I've been over here 20-something years, everything else. I know people who, because they know of me or we have interaction, I know some hardcore racists. You know, what I call them closet Klan members, you know.
Right, right.
And everybody in some form or fashion has, you know, been discriminated against. I talk with Caucasians over here, and I have a few that stopped me on, you know, one in particular stopped me on the street. It was like, well, now I know how you guys feel. Well, okay. So what do you, you know, is this going to be a life-altering thing? How is it going to affect? Racism in any form, whether it's a black man, the one to a white, a non-black, it doesn't make any difference,
right.
You know. But, of course, it's out there. But we're, of course, the topic right now and today is about what's happening with the African-American community over here, you know. And to say that it's not here, I've experienced it, like I say, with veterans organizations, businesses, the whole nine yards, you know. And you try to maintain, you know, a certain amount of, you don't want to go off because first thing they say, well, okay, well, there he is. He's acting just like one of them people.
One of those angry black people.
There you go. You know? So you're caught between, if you act civilized and try to approach it in a civilized way, then, to use the street term, you look on like a punk, you know?
Right.
And then if you're aggressive and you stand your ground, hey, we got another angry black man on our hands, you know?
Very militant.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, you're caught between how to handle it. You know, not with me, I deal with it one at a time. Excuse me, one person at a time. But I've known that I have lost, I mean, as far as economically, I mean, I can go on and on and on about some of the things, you know, with business-wise that has happened to me, but I don't want to sound like I'm grinding an axe, and, you know, I'll do it some other time. But, no, these things that, you know, we're old enough here. You're 55, I'm 58, and Richard, whatever.
23,
yeah, sure, dog years.
wait. This is a family show.
Oh, no lying.
No lying. And this is Sunday morning.
Okay, all right, I'm 54.
We don't want any angry black people running loose around.
Very true.
But I can tell you this, too, though. And I said this to you guys before. I said, I've been in Hawaii 10 years. I have been called the N-word more times in my first 6 years in Hawaii than in 20 years in New York in my last 20 years. For them to tell me that racism doesn't exist here or these guys at the top, that's crazy.
Right.
We know it does.
Yeah. Well, you know, getting back to the specifics of this Rex Johnson matter. Now, when I watched it, and I wanted to see how things are being handled, right, with this. And that's always, I believe that all people have good in them. But I also believe that all people will not do the good that's in them. They will be swayed by political reasons, financial reasons, whatever. That's fine. As long as we have some means of checking it and some means of extracting them from the system when it pops up. In this instance, they represented that the board had reviewed the emails. Well, now you see the revelations. The board didn't. It was the executive directors that did review the emails. But if they reviewed them, how could they have reviewed them all in their totality and then in turn not see the racist ones? Right? Blinders on? I don't know. So when you look at this, how could they have gotten, you have a copy of the CD that I provided you guys, and you can see there's one email, and there's how to put black people, Obama has a plan for to reduce unemployment, and there's a picture of Obama standing there, and then black people, a crowd of black people running away from him. You know, I'm sorry, did the Attorney General see this one? Right?
Good question.
Did Marion Higa see this one? Or did she just see the sex? You know? Just goes on and on. The other one, the bros before the, you know. Did Marion Higa see that one? Did Calvin Say see that one? You know?
I think I met some people who are hardcore. I'm talking about really hardcore. You know, if they could, in some cases, they would view me with extreme prejudice, if you know what I mean. And there are some people who are just so insulated in the way they were raised, and it's, you know, they segregated themselves from certain ideas, and to them, you know, you become a non-person, a non-entity, so, you know, they cannot relate to what you're thinking. One of the emails that you had the privilege to see there was one that was from Pat Buchanan, you know, and that he forwarded on. And in this thing, of course, it was like blacks should be appreciative that whites, that they're basically like they're allowed to breathe, you know, the same air as whites in this country, you know. And if you subscribe to that, then again, there is, you know, if that's your train of thought, no matter what's going on, there's some people that they're not going to change their minds, you know. But my hope, what I believe, is that, again, on a grassroots level, is that that's where people get together. There's a lot of systemic stuff that's going on that people have the power to make things happen. They have the power to make things not happen.
Right.
You know? And that's, you know, what keeps the system going is, again, on a grassroots level, like, you and I are getting along and everybody else is getting along, you know, and the people with power are saying, okay, well, fine, you know. It just shows that everything is hunky-dory.
Right.
Not to use that word too often, but anyhow. You know, it's, it's just something that's drastically wrong. On the thought I was going to, I don't want to monopolize here.
Go for it.
But something that, you know, I was bringing up before about the age thing. You and I are old enough. I remember the marches, like, we're doing, hell, I've seen the riots in Newark and the different places, all these things that were going down. And we were promised that by the year 2000, you know, that we'll be one happy kumbaya singing community and everything else. It started going good there, and then later on, it seemed to morph into something that was more, I wouldn't say insidious, but people really started to get along at some point. And I believe, and this is my personal thing, that you see how you follow the hippie or the peace movement, and then all of a sudden, at one point, I think the defining point for most people we recognize is Charles Manson. You know, and all of a sudden, these people became vilified. You know, if you're a long-haired individual or seeking peace, and therefore, you know, you're a retrobate and, you know, dope smoking,
right?
You know, anti whatever it was, anyhow, and they play on that. And I refuse to be part of the problem. You know, even though, like I say, I have very strong feelings about what's happened to me during my life. Again, I look at it this way, that life is always not fair, and I also look at this as a chess game, because before you get put in checkmate, you want to make sure that you're not put in check in the first place, you know? And again, hopefully, by passing that on or living by that, I'm part of the solution, you know? But it's the old divide and conquer thing, you know? As long as we're fighting among ourselves, you know, and, you know, especially among blacks, you know, you got one group against the other, and these so-called black leaders, I think, do a lot of harm also, because, again, they have people, you feel like you've been told that you're a victim all the time, you know, like, this is what you're entitled to. Okay, well, there's certain transgressions, things that happened in the past that definitely need to be addressed, okay? But we have to take on some responsibility in here.
Well, I'll take all of it and shoulder all of the responsibility, but when I have an agency and a government, pulling these shenanigans, it's not about me anymore. And it's not about black people fighting against black people. It's about right now, this is a cancerous cell that we've identified, and we must get rid of it. And this applies to everyone, because if it's not African Americans, it could be Hawaiians. If it's not Hawaiians, it could be the Micronesians. Yeah. It could be the Chinese or the Taiwanese. We as a people, period, as human beings, should never tolerate any of this behavior. Not getting into the small talks of it, but simply when there's an institution such as the HTA generating emails such as this, when the governor, Linda Lingle, has the opportunity and has an attorney general who reviews them, not to review them for their content to punish this gentleman, but to review them to shield the release and screen and scrutinize and sanitize these documents before you and I are able to see them. And the Calvin Saves, who is the head, who in turn has authority in the over tourism, chaired by Mr. Ryan Yamani. Now, he's my representative. I spoke with him, and he informed me he had never received a copy or was informed. He only learned of this matter through the Honolulu Advertiser. And he is a chairman of the tourism board committee in the House. So my concerns are very serious about this. And so I wrote letters to the board, and the board, all of a sudden, Mr. Payne, Wendell Payne, I guess it's his name, writes me back and tells me the board doesn't want to give me their email addresses.
That's ridiculous.
So that I can write them and ask them questions. Well, that's right there tells me that they were hiding something, because if you were a righteous person, you would have made yourself available. Oh,
right? Yeah.
You know?
And they represent the people. So how can he stand there and tell somebody, well, I'm not going to give you our email?
Well, they didn't want to do that, but this took a couple days of calling back, but also to then ask him, well, will you give the emails to the board? Oh, yeah, we'll do that. That's what we normally do. Well, I should have learned that in the beginning, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, no problem. Yep. The bigger problem is once I did send them to him, and he sent me back an email telling me that they didn't want to answer. You know,
ridiculous.
They did not wish to answer my questions.
Then why are they in office?
Well, they're in office because they are there to do, not do good, but do good, but do well for themselves and their companies. But anyway, we're going to take a break here right quick. I got let's take a real quick break, and we'll be right back. This is the Carol Cox Show. I have Calvin Griffin of the Hawaii Bulletin Board and Mr. Richard Brownskill for Nubian Films of Hawaii.
Close enough.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll be right back. So hang in there.
If you're like me, you're looking for ways to save money on gas and help the environment. That's why you want to know about the EPA's smart driving tips. Tips that could give you more miles per gallon of gas and reduce air pollution. Like making sure your tires are properly inflated. And replacing your air filter regularly. Oh, where possible, accelerate and brake slowly. Slowly. And did you know that for every 5 miles you go over 65 miles per hour, you're spending about 20 cents more per gallon of gas? Also, if you're shopping for a new car, choose the cleanest, most efficient vehicle that meets your needs. If we each adopt just one of these tips, we'd get more miles for our money and breathe a little easier. For more tips and to compare cleaner, more efficient vehicles, visit www.epa.gov/greenvehicles.
Everything I want to know. You talk talk about terror. I tell you, talk about terror. People have been terrorized all my days. Had to plot and muse. They turn around and call me a fool. Couldn't go to school. Had to plot that old music. Now you talk about terror. I tell you, talk about terror. People have been terrorized all my days. All my days.
Okay. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, and I know some of you out there are going, my God, where did that song come from? Well, sometimes music is to entertain, sometimes it's to soothe our soul, and you pick your purpose that on that one. But it's just to something that I've been familiar with over the years, and so the things that we cannot afford to do anything but to ask and demand of Governor Lingle, Senator Hanabusa, Calvin Say, Representative Calvin Say, and Marion Higa, and all of our other state legislators to demand an independent investigation, not one from the Attorney General who screen and sanitize the emails. Uh-huh. Right? Upon seeing these, we should have been informed that the Attorney General is now initiating a criminal investigation.
Oh, yes.
I said we should hear that.
Mm.
Yeah. But instead, here, Mr. Cox, here are your emails. I must tell you that we've looked at and we took some of them out, and some were deleted, and we withheld some. Well, what did they withhold?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, once, of course, we, you know, the tip of the iceberg, or the old saying, once you, there's a crack in the door, you know, you can swing wide open. And what's to say what's going to come out of that door, you know? And I think that's what scares a lot of people who are in the positions of authority or, you know, elected positions, because we know how this basically, whether it's an unspoken thing, we know basically how it works over here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to get along, you got to, you know, all the old cliches, you know, you have to know somebody to be able to do this, that, and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with some of the things that I've been hearing about and been privy as far as the information, that's how it works. If you don't know anybody, you know, then it ain't going to happen. And these little enclaves with the different, the different factions over here, you know, even if one faction goes down, or they say they're exposed, then you got the other group that's wondering, is it going to happen to me next? So I think that's why they're circling their wagons, even if you got some people in groups over here that don't can particularly care for one another, vying for power on that level, then. But they're going to cover one another's butt because, again, if they go down, you know, they figure they're next.
Well, that's why they call it institutional and systemic
racism.
Well,
and
it is not the responsibility of the citizen to police everyone. And the responsibility of the citizen, in my opinion, is to anticipate and expect fairness and equality, period. That's the only obligation you and I have. That's the only obligation I have, is to expect. Because if I don't expect it and you know, and demand it, then I fail myself. But when my government get into a system and a mode of operating of concealing and covering up and then sit back like Higa, if that was me and I discovered emails such as that and it was in my capacity as an auditor, when I first heard the first statement, well, it's about sex, I would have been screaming, and I would have given a letter of resignation, demanding that it all be outed and talked about in the transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see that.
Right. But you know, you say that as a citizen, we should expect, you know, certain things to happen, you know. But what I've seen, and it's just like, okay, we've been conditioned or believe that right makes, you know, might, and, you know, eventually the good guy wins, and, you know, all these other things we hear eventually, you know, the meek shall inherit the earth and all this stuff, you know. But I think that's what I talk about the powers that be or the different power blocks over here. That's what they're waiting, you know, like, okay, well, you guys calm down because eventually, you know, you've got your gripes and groans going on right now. But, you know, eventually things are going to turn out all right because either God is on your side or there's some kind of guardian angel or something's going to come up to make things right. History has shown when you let things like this go, it only exacerbates the situation and gets a hell of a lot worse. See what happened in Nazi Germany? You see with different parts of the Pol Pot and the rest of the United States where millions of people are exterminated, where, you know, once you just let it go, it snowballs. And eventually, yeah, I guess after you get through running out of killing off each other, then, you know, some semblance of normalcy, if you want to call it, that comes back. But that takes, you know, it could take decades or years. We've seen how it happen, you know. Yeah. So I think as far as getting, you know, involved, demanding, you know, because there are certain things we should demand. But we sometimes need to be more proactive out there, especially nowadays with a lot of things that's going on. You know, demand, I mean, just get in their face. You have to do that because we're losing out. It's happening across the country.
Well, you know what made me annoyed? Initially, we had this conversation, and I had a conversation with somebody, and they were telling me, well, you know, they sanctioned him, and this, I just thought this was like a total insult, because the person didn't tell me initially the whole story. Well, you know, we sanctioned him, and we took $40,000.
Who is this? Who is we? Told you what? Who?
It was...
We name names here.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck don't exist. So.
No. It was the name went like right out of my head.
Okay.
It was Clarence Nishihara.
Who is that?
He's a state senator.
Okay.
And we were having a conversation, and he said, you know, they had sanctioned him $40,000, which is a lot of money. You know, I'd look at $40,000, somebody take that out of my pocket, I'd be annoyed. But what wasn't said was that this guy makes $240,000 plus bonuses. So taking $40,000 from this guy is nothing. Okay? He'll make that up on his deal over there in Japan right now. Mm-hmm. You know, somewhere, somehow, he'll make that money back probably tenfold, fifteenfold.
Right.
But maybe to the layman, $40,000, well, that's really a hard hit. But that's nothing, because these guys always set themselves up so that when they have to leave or they decide to leave, they step right into another. It's like a golden parachute situation. And that's how it works.
And that's the big deal, believe it or not. The amount of money that this man can funnel through two politicians, bypass money.
Mm.
There's a lot to be said about that. But, you know, in speaking about the climate here, whether you're a Caucasian, And they, too, receive at the hands of quite a bit of discrimination here.
Right. Yeah.
And let me tell you, in the workplace, the problem with this, why am I so worried about this? And I'll just tell you. Is it the Attorney General who should be prosecuting? So we have the EEOC who should be pursuing these. But if you got an attorney general who's concealing and sanitizing emails and not and standing back and just knowing that and not seeking prosecution, I don't believe that anybody can go to this attorney general and get a fair shake when they claim racial discrimination or sex discrimination or whatever, gender discrimination or age, because it's clear that the system shields itself and shields one another for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I want to hammer on this subject. Rex Johnson is the nucleus or the nuclei as far as I'm concerned. Anyone out there that's go, well, you know, this is a beautiful place, it sure is.
Yeah.
But that's because greater forces made it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't leave it to a governor, didn't leave it to an attorney general, didn't leave it to a state representative, didn't leave it to a state senator or an auditor. Because if it had, God only knows what it would have looked like.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But we have Bob Hernandez in here. Good morning, Bob. You got to want to chime in on this?
No, you guys are doing a good job just listening. Yeah, fascinating times. I would just add that my viewpoint is that I would like everybody to understand that prejudice is a natural human condition, and we fight it every day.
Yeah.
And I see it with people I deal with, and sometimes I have to catch myself, you know, thinking a certain way. So, hey, I say the ships will fall where they fall, and like you're saying, Carol, the appropriate people, you know, it's come up, and I'm pretty sure they are investigating it. I mean, they are pursuing it further, or did they tell you that they're just done?
Well, this is the way. They've told us nothing. In fact, we asked for the emails and asked to interview these folk and asked the governor for a comment and asked Senator Hunter Booser for a comment, and they don't bother to respond. In fact, only until I told Senator Hunter Booser that I was going to be discussing this on my show, she then sent me an email saying, oh, this matter is confidential. Now, but I'll ask the Attorney General. Well, I was excited then, knowing what I knew about the Attorney General and how he had already handled it. Well, I was just couldn't wait for Hunter Booser's letter, because I knew it would be what?
Yeah.
Same old song, right?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. But I just simply submit this. It's not what I think others should do. I think that if you value your rights and you value the strength of a community, we shouldn't tolerate this. We should demand of our legislators, our governor, to be transparent, to have an investigation, because we've seen how they handle investigations. We get the real story when we listen to their side of it.
Mm.
You know?
Yep.
And it's painful, gentlemen. I would rather be out there looking for illegal dump sites and chemicals and waste, fraud, and abuse in government. But when I see my rights or a system eroding my rights and others' rights, I'm speaking out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. I mean, some problems saying, well, boy, I didn't know he had this in him and this fire in him. Mm. Anytime there's injustices, whether it's animals, people, I'm there, man. I'm sorry. It's the sickness that I don't want to see in a community.
Well, that's one thing that Bob was just talking. We all talk offline about a few things, quite a few things anyhow. But the thing is, when you're addressing other people's plights or situations, whatever, a lot of people are surprised when African Americans are concerned about other individuals.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, well, you know, you're not concentrating on your issue. I mean, you know, the thing is, no matter how far back you go, we all come from the same source. So you may look different than I am, but you're still my brother. Like I say, if there's something that's happening to you, I should address it, you know. And I have issues with certain individuals, some people who don't like me, who aren't African American. That doesn't mean that they're racist, because I tick a lot of people off, you know. So.
Yeah, you got some funny ways like me. I'm funny. I got some funny ways, you know.
Say it ain't so, Carol.
I mean, if you want to look at a confused person, look at me at times. But I hope nobody hates me for it or deny me what's rightfully mine, and that's my rights or respect, you know. This isn't a perfect world, and I don't want anybody to think that I think it's perfect, but when we find an imperfection, then we must do surgery.
Yeah.
Or sand it down, smooth it out, and put it back in its place.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, we got you on the air there. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, just a quick comment. Since you talked about the highest level of government, the governor and the attorney general, I would be interested in also seeing the email that Bob Luana was involved with these child prostitutes in the Philippines, which I think the state government, Arlingo, does not want these emails released because possibly involved state officials were being set up with prostitutes while they're doing business in the Philippines now. So there's something going up at the top level which involves the Attorney General and the governor.
Mm-hmm.
And even Ed Kubo should be involved with the Bob Luana case because it's an international situation between Philippine prostitution and state officials. But I just want to bring this up. And one more comment from John Pennypacker. He seems to think it's okay with what Rex Johnson said. Just a comment there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate Mr. Pennebaker's comments, and I it does several things. It serves a good purpose, and that is to show that we as a people are not from the same cookie cutter. We are different. We have different emotions. So I'm never concerned with a person like Pennebaker, and I have great respect for him and what he has done. What I have a problem with is when sometimes when we find these, if you pay close attention, you'll see that there in these instances, they always go and say, can you speak on my behalf? Because I'm really not a racist. Well, we're not saying you're racist. We're saying the actions that you have committed is the issue. And we're not looking at your entire history. We're talking about the moment now because we really can't tell. But again, Steve, what I was going to share with you, I am concerned, and that was what stimulated my real interest in this. Why would Governor Lingle speak out on this one and demand that this gentleman resign while she was holding to her chest her cards on Babuana? But I am going to be filing a request, even with Mayor Mufi Hanneman, believe it or not. He was on that same trip, on one of those trips, and they had the same kind of great pleasures being tossed around there. And I don't know, but I'm going to ask him, be sending an email to him and some questions, asking what and how did he participate in that. And I would still like to see Mr. Bob Owen. And that matter isn't going away. So I appreciate your comments. Thank you, Steve. Who we have in Matthew, go ahead.
I hate to derail you for the last couple minutes of the show, but I mean, since you opened up the subject with the Bob Lawney emails in relation to the Rex Johnson case, I'd also like to bring up the Rod Tam's comments and the first small firestorm that surrounded them. Do you think they're on the same level of discrimination or hidden hatred or hidden racism as it would be for Rex Johnson?
Let me. You want my opinion, or you want me to sit down and study? In my opinion, any form of hatred, any form of foul-mouthed comment from an official is equally wrong. Now, to say in what depth, I think Rod Tam should have been punished, sanctioned, and asked to leave, resign, not just from the committee. But secondly, keep in mind the institution, Hanabusa and others, and who stands up and support these guys, these demons. That's the real issue, and I'm not going to tax the public to say, well, do you think they're equal? The problem is our attorney generals, and our U.S. attorneys, and our governors, and our state representatives, when we find this cancer cell, get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. If you consider that kind of discrimination a cancerous cell as far as the proper function of government, how would you delineate the situation with OHA, Kamehameha schools, and DLNR as far as, and even the Department of Hawaiian Homeland as far as racial discrimination among Hawaiian citizens?
Well, I know where you're going with this, Bob, but I'm always going to tell you the same answer. If you want to discuss issues about what the Hawaiians demand, what they want, I'm going to invite you on the show, and I think we'll put this from the bed. Come on the show, and let's schedule something, and I'll let you discuss with the Hawaiian people what OHA is, and if OHA is discriminating, and if CAM school is discriminating. I think it's in your belly. So would you, when we get off air here, give me a call back, and I would love to, let's talk this out and flesh it out, because I think, you know, I've heard you talk on many occasions, and I agree with you. Would you like to do that? Yeah, do that.
I'll get you an email.
Yeah, do that. And you can, for those listening out there, you can pick up this on podcast at carolcox.com. That's carolcox.com.
You had a great show today, by the way, Carol. Thanks again.
Thank you. But I want to get you on, and I think these are some issues, and I would love to, I will never speak for the Hawaiian community. I think it would be a disservice and disrespectful. But if you have questions that OHA and CAM schools are a faction of discrimination, I'm going to let you discuss that with them, and I'll be entertained. I'll sit back and watch.
I appreciate your time.
All righty. Gentlemen, thank you for coming. Calvin?
Yeah, real quick. Of course, my program's coming up next anyhow. I do have some things, of course, we talked about with the military issue anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can hold on, of course, we're going to, a little bit later in my show, we'll go ahead and then probably continue the conversation in some mm-hmm. form.
Richard?
Just thanks for having me on. I hope the community stands up like they're supposed to.
And your show is what now? I gave you the bad name. So
New in Hawaii News. Channel 11, 6:30 Wednesday night and 7 o'clock Saturday morning.
You know, and we're going to get off of here. This is the Carol Cox Show, but Bob, Steve, and others, thank you. And I really appreciate Matthew's, because that's what we need, healthy discussions.
Yeah.
So, Matthew, please don't hesitate to call back, and let's get this going. Thank you.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, Americans.